Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Lesbians Who Write with me, Claire Lydon, and T.B. Markinson. T.B. Markinson, how are you today?
I am doing quite well today. I've had an exciting week so far, but we'll get to that soon. I can't wait to tell you.
Exciting week. Well, I'm excited now. Very excited by that. I can't wait to get into it. Just a quick reminder before we do get into TB's exciting week and also into this podcast in general. And the big question this week is who or what inspires you to write? Which is a big question, I'm sure you'll agree. Just to remind you that we are a weekly podcast. Yes, we are. Coming to you nearly live every week. But before we get into the big question, TB, tell me about your exciting week. What did it involve?
It involved publishing a new book.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It's been a crazy week here because, as you know, getting across the finish line is never pretty. but yes, I uploaded A Woman Undone, the 6th installment of my A Woman Lost series on Amazon. Crazy news. I was hoping Amazon would take a little longer than under 1 hour to put it up on the site. But no, they decided this time to be very efficient. So I've been scrambling ever since to get all the links out to my art team and everything. But it's been pretty exciting. This is a book I've been aiming to get out for quite some time since the last book in the series ended with a little bit of a cliffhanger. And my readers were kind of emailing me like, what's going to happen to Peter? So I finally got it out, and it's exciting times.
Yeah, very exciting. Always very exciting when you launch a new book. And you know, sort of gain new readers, hopefully, and coming into this series. So what book did you say is in the series?
It's it's kind of complicated. It's actually number 6 according to Amazon, but since there's a prequel that's 0, it's actually the 6th book in the series. I wish Amazon could get on board with prequels, but they like to be difficult on certain matters.
So it's a 5th book, is that right?
No, 7th.
It's the 7th. Right, okay. Gotcha. Yep. So it's quite a long series. How long are you planning this series to go on for?
I'm not sure. Actually, it's a funny story. When I first published A Woman Lost, the very first book in the series, I thought it was going to be a one and done. And then I started getting an influx of messages and emails from readers from all over the world saying how much they absolutely adored Lizzie. And so I was like, okay, I'll write another book. And then another and another, and every time I release one, the very first message I get from people, actually I got one this morning from someone who read an advanced copy saying, I hope the series never ends. And I was like, that's a lot of pressure.
So do you think you'll still be writing this when you're, you know, I don't know, 30 years time, you'll be writing Lizzie book 107?
That kind of makes me a little terrified to think about. It's one of those things, like, I enjoy the stories, but I also have other stories I want to tell, and it's kind of a balance of, I did build my career on the Lizzie stories, and people do absolutely love her, but I also, it's one of those things where, like, is it all I can write? So I'm in a planning mode. I think there's going to be at least 2 more. That I'm aiming for 2 more.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens. Right. We'll see how much the readers influence me.
You know, readers might
they
say
are my bosses.
Yeah, readers might say that they love Lizzie, and I'm sure they do. I'm sure they're not lying. However, they probably will, if they love Lizzie, they love your style, so they're probably going to love whatever you then produce afterwards, right? Because, you know, I know that when I did my All I Want series, it went on for like just over a year, and I still get messages saying, are you going to do any more on those? And the answer is no, because
hard no.
I mean, I always say never say never. But actually, no, there are some times when you should say no, it's not, they're not going to be, because, you know, the series kind of tied up. I had an epilogue 5 years later, and so there's not much point in going back. Plus, like you say, I had new things to write, and if they like my voice and my writing, then they'll be excited about the new stuff. So, you know, that's my feeling anyway.
I'm listening, taking it on board,
okay,
trust me.
Okay.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I have had a busy week as well. I haven't launched any books, nothing as exciting as that, but I finished the first draft of a new book, London 6. So it's called Made in London. So I'm just starting on the second draft, which is going really slowly. It's going. I was doing the opening scene this morning and it took me about 2 hours to edit it, which is not good for one scene, is it? But I'm hoping it'll speed up.
But you kind of have to nail the opening scene. I mean, you have to take as long as it takes to get it right.
That's right. So, you know, it's good that we're making progress, and I'll be doing a bit more of that later. And this week I've also been booking lots of things. So I've booked to go to the London Book Fair. I've booked to go to Diva Literary Festival, which is all in the same week in March. So London Book Fair is, I think it's like the mid-March, 12th to the 14th. And then Diva Literary Festival is the 15th to the 17th. So I'm going to be appearing at that. So that's cool. And then I'm also booked again All Points East, which is a music festival. So lots of booking.
I also have been booking a lot of events on this end. I booked, obviously, the London Book Fair. We'll be joined together on that day.
Joined at the hip.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then I've also booked the conference for GCLS. And Romance Writers of America, they're a big conference in New York City. It's my first time going to that one. I love New York, so any chance to get to New York, I will sign up. So, yes, I've been doing a lot of filling out forms. Have you noticed how annoying the forms can be, all the questions you have to fill out? I just want to go. Do I have to tell everything about myself? I just want to go.
Oh, no, I didn't have to. The forms for these weren't so crazy, but maybe they're, not as involved, clearly. But that's exciting that you're going to the Romance Writers of America one. I'd love to go to one of those because I think, you know, the organisation is that much bigger and, it's that much more of a cross-section of people and more in, you know, bigger speakers and stuff. So I'd love to go one year. They do the Romantic Novelist Association in the UK, but it's always in a time when I can't go. And again, this year it's in July and I'm in Germany and I'm at weddings and I can't go. Maybe next year I'll get there.
How inconvenient of those people to plan their wedding during the time when you want to go someplace else.
I know. They need to consult me. That's what they need to do.
But seriously, it's all about you.
The other big news this week, though, and I'm still a little bit, you know, I'm still getting over it, is I go to, every morning, most mornings, I walk along the river and I go to a Costa Coffee to do my writing or my editing. And it's a well-worn routine and it's one that I love. But this week it's been a bit marred by change, which I know we're going to talk about in a future episode. How do we cope with change? Well, in this instance, not very well. Because with my coffee, I like a panais raisin. I don't know if you're familiar with a panais raisin. They're nice little swirly Danish with the raisins. And some people don't like raisins. I'm a big
raisin. I am one of those people. Okay. I always have to pick them out.
You're right. I would be leaning over and eating your raisins. I'm a raisin fan.
I'm more than happy to share my raisins with you.
This week, I learned that they weren't in the Costa Coffee. And I asked them, they haven't been for a little while, and I asked them, are you going to, you know, start ordering the panais raisin again? Because, you know, I like to have at least one a week. Not every day, because that's unhealthy, but at least one a week, a little treat. And apparently they've been taken off the Costa Coffee order book, so you cannot order them anymore.
Are you going to be able to write another book?
I don't know.
Or does this just kill it completely? You have to find a new career.
Well, I did find myself writing. So my next book due out in March, and it's called You're My Kind. There's a woman in it, the lead character. She likes a coffee and a panais raisin. And I think it was me, you know, writing out my love of panais raisin. You know, I had to work it through. So that book is like a bit therapeutic. My lead character gets to have them in the book. And, you know, it's an independent coffee shop and they make them on the premises. So they don't have to order them in from the man. But the man at Costa has decided that you cannot have any more panais raisin. So I'm conflicted because it's a lovely Costa right by the river.
Yes.
But I like a panais raisin. So I'm considering at the moment sneaking one in from the Waitrose next door and surreptitiously eating it. Behind my coffee cup. What do you think?
Are there no other coffee shops along the Thames that will serve you one.
Well, no, there aren't. I mean, there's a fancy pub that I've taken to going to. When I say pub, it's more of a cafe bar, and it's beautiful, and it's got big floor to ceiling windows, looks out over the Thames. But that's a bit too posh. They don't do pastries. They just do, you know, smashed avocado and chorizo on toast for breakfast and things like that, and charge you £9.
Yes.
So, you know, it's either posh breakfast, which is a bit much every day. I just want a £2 pan au raisin. It's not much to ask in the world, is it? But apparently it is.
Well, I think you're just going to have to smuggle it in and risk whatever happens to you. Well, I would love, if you do get tossed out, I would love for you to record it for all of us to watch.
And I'll put it as a story on Instagram.
Absolutely. Or just live stream it.
Yeah. And then hashtag author's life, sad face. You know, I bet you're glad you asked me about my week now, aren't you? I mean, that is the biggest thing that's happened in my week. You know, it's impactful on my whole life. But I'm trying to stay strong because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah, you have to dig deep to get past these travesties in life.
You know, yeah, life is about change and I'm trying to handle it.
What other pastries do they have? I'm just curious.
They have a croissant, which I always view as flaky air. I mean, a croissant is inherently just a little bit disappointing, isn't it? There's nothing substantial about a croissant. It's just flaky air. And then they also have a pain au chocolat. And again, I chocolate and me. I like pure chocolate, but I'm not really a bit too sweet in the morning. So you see my problem, don't you?
I don't know how you're going to get past it, but I am cheering you on.
I'm going to report back in weeks to come about my pastry dilemma. And I have actually recently, well, actually, I'm having my first personal training session tomorrow with a new personal trainer. And I bet
is this because of your pastry addiction?
Yeah, no, and I bet if I tell her about my pastry dilemma, she might just say to me, how about just not doing pastry for a while, Claire? And I go, what? What? Are you crazy?
It's a sign.
Are you crazy?
Yes. Yeah, I have a feeling that she will cheer you on of just having like water or like a green juice or, you know, that stuff that we all hate.
Yeah. Anyway, let's stop talking about pastries and talk about the big question of this week. So the question is, what or who inspires you to write? So, TB, what or who inspires you to write?
I'm going to tackle the what question, the what part first. What inspires me to write is I always wanted to. I remember way back in the day, I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I was in the sixth grade in the U.S. I don't know what you guys call, is it primary school?
How old are you? How old are you in sixth grade?
10 or 11. I can't remember the exact age, okay. And I'm terrible at math.
Yeah, that's top year juniors in old money.
Top year. That's complicated. Yeah. So I was in the sixth grade, and we had to write a story. It was around Christmas time. We had to write a story, make up a story about why people celebrate Christmas or some kind of tradition or something like that. So I penned this story about bears, because when I think of Christmas, apparently at age 10, I thought of bears.
Okay.
And it was like, why bears decorate Christmas trees. I got my story back a few days before Christmas break and everything, and at the very top of the paper, it said, have you ever considered being a writer? And that hooked me right then and there. Ever since then, ever since reading that note from this teacher who I can't even remember her name.
Oh, what a lovely note, though.
I know, it truly inspired me from that day, and I've been chasing it. Well, not very hard in my 20s, because the 20s were a bit rough for me, but I've been chasing the writing dream since the age of 10. Yeah. And it's just funny how, like, one small thing, I mean, it was just a note from a teacher, but it really did impact my life, and it inspired me to think, because before then, I don't think I actually considered that I knew stories existed, but I don't think I put it together yet that there were people behind the stories who were creating them. I don't know. I just thought they appeared magically.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's what inspired me to actually become an author.
That's
what about you? Did you have any moment, an epiphany?
Epiphanies? Well, I think pretty much I had similar-ish things happen. Like when I was 11, I wrote a novel and I got 4.5 out of 5 house points for it. So I was always a little bit miffed that why did you take the half off? I don't understand. Nobody wrote me a nice note, though. But I remember when I was 16, we had to write a short story in our class and mine got picked as the one they liked the best, and I got to read it out. They're sort of points. But I think probably the people who inspired me are more probably my dad initially, because he was a journalist and always wanted to write a novel. So he didn't do fiction. But, you know, he inspired me to write, I think, initially. And he was always very much like, he used to buy me a book every week when I was little and take me to the library and all that sort of thing. So big up to him. But I think now who inspires me to write are people who read my stuff and write to me and tell me that my stories are making a difference to them and showing up there, representing their lives and reflecting what they're feeling and their experiences. And that is a surprise to me, because I never expected that when I first started writing. I thought it was all a very selfish endeavour and you're just writing the stories you have. Well, the stories you make up, but actually it's not. It's a very unselfish endeavor, actually. You're writing the stories that reflect the world and reflect the people who are reading them. And so the people who are reading them are an inspiration to me every day. That sounds really trite and really awful, doesn't it? It sounds trite and cheesy.
Shout out to readers, especially the ones who do reach out, because when I get an email, especially if I get an email on a day where it hasn't been going well on my end, but I open up an email and it says, you know, I just want to let you know your story really meant something to me. It does help you dig a little deeper to be like, all right, I can do this. I can figure out what's wrong with this story. And it helps us over the finish line all the time. And it means so much that someone actually, A, read our stories, but then took the time out to let us know that they liked it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and for everyone, you always know as well, because it's not very many people do actually write to you. And so for every one person who writes to you, there'll probably be, you know, at least 5 or 10 people who thought the same thing but didn't write to you. Because I don't think I would write to I've got some authors that inspire me as well, and I'm really impressed with their work, but I'd never email them because I'd be embarrassed. And that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because, you know, I know as a writer that it's really lovely getting these emails, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't then email these people myself. So I know that for every one person that does, there are other people that think it as well.
Yes.
So that's that thought inspires me as well. Yes. What about sort of writers? Are there any that have inspired you?
There's been quite a few that have inspired me. I think when I first really started taking it seriously, writing as such, I read Stephen King's On Writing. Have you read that one?
I have, actually, really recently. I bought it when I was in Canada last year, and then I read it. So, yeah, I loved it. Really, really good.
As you do when you go to Canada, you buy Stephen King.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I think I went into this bookshop and they had in Toronto, and they had an amazing selection of like writing books, and that was one of them. And I'd heard good things about it, so I thought, oh, yeah, I'll buy it. Support the local bookshop.
Yeah. And I read this book, and I don't think I had read anything actually by Stephen King. I'm a bit of a wuss when it comes to horror and such. I'm the one who has to watch movies between the cracks of my fingers.
No, I'm the same.
Narrate what's going on.
Yeah.
So I read the book, and I found him quite charming and funny, and so I actually started reading some of his books. But so he was one of the inspirations to get behind the actual craft of writing. But there are other writers throughout my life that have influenced me. I think, you know, I'm a huge Charles Dickens fan. I think Great Expectations is one of the best books, perfectly plotted. I love Mark Twain, a lot of Hemingway, Dorothy Parker, and such like that. The thing is with the writers, it's not just the really, this is going to sound really odd, I'm sorry, but it's not just the really good books that inspire me. Sometimes you read a book that is just not the most enjoyable experience. I tend to learn a lot more from those of how not to write.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's important for writers not just to focus on the classics or anything like that. I think you got to read all across the spectrum to find out exactly what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on the reading bit. I think I had an email from somebody today and they said to me, do you get time to read? And I replied and said, oh, well, you have to. I don't think you can be a good writer without being a good reader. I think it is. I think the two go hand in hand. But unlike you, I am really, I suppose you would say, not very well read when it comes to the classics. because when people tell me to do something, I'm like, well, no, frankly. So I think we had to read at school, like To Kill a Mockingbird. I vaguely remember it. It was all right. I've never read any Charles Dickens. I've never read Dorothy Parker. I've never read Mark Twain. I am not well read when it comes to the classics, but I don't mind. I read what
doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I read what I read a Virginia Woolf about sort of 5 years ago. I thought I had a book token. I know. Remember book tokens? I had a book token and I thought I'm going to buy a Virginia Woolf because I've never read her books. So I bought Mrs. Dalloway and I found it excruciating. And there were like about 3 or 4 lines in that book that I quite liked, but I found it just wholly unsatisfying. And so, you know, I know a lot of people who say, oh, Virginia Woolf, fantastic. Well, maybe her other books are, but I've read one, I'm unlikely to read another. But, you know, you don't have to have read the classics.
No, I didn't mean to imply that. I read the classics because I'm also a historian, so I read books from certain time periods that I've studied quite well. So that's the reason I love them. But no, read anything you want.
Read anything. yeah. So I in fact, recently, so I was sort of thinking about who's been my biggest writerly inspiration, and I think, well, just bang my elbow. I think Judy Blume, actually. I love Judy Blume. And I was looking up when... Have you read Judy Blume?
I have. Not recently, but I remember reading her... And who was the other author that was really big back then? Beverly... Oh, can't remember her last name. But yeah, I mean, those were fantastic books.
Absolutely amazing. And I looked them up just before doing this call with you, and they were written in the early 70s. I think Forever, which was the big one that everyone read in school because it had sex in it, that was written in like 1976 or something like that. And Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, and Superfudge was a bit later, but they were all written in like between 70 and 76, yet we were still reading them in school, like, you know, decades later. Decades. Yeah, I'm 22. I think they're timeless, and I think she is a fantastic example of being a fantastic storyteller. She's the best, and she brought out her fourth adult fiction novel in 2015, and I read it, and again, it was absolutely fabulous. So Judy Blume is definitely an inspiration. I also love Armistead Maupin. His Tales of the City series showed me that you could do great storytelling in language that everyone could understand, but make it compelling. And that's what I strive to do now. And Alison Bechdel, with her Dykes to Watch Out For series that I've followed for years and years and years, and I've got everything she's ever done. And she is just, again, it was like a lesbian soap opera in graphic novel form. But her but her storytelling is second to none. And, you know, I'm really thrilled where she had all the success she's had with Fun Home and her later actual graphic novels. But the series that was serialized in all American sort of magazines and newspapers was fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
Did you follow that when it was out?
I didn't, no. I've always been really behind the times. I mean, I'm still reading Charles Dickens, so... Yeah. I have a lot of catching up to do.
You know what? I hate to break it to you, but I think he might have died.
Oh, please, don't tell me that. Please. But are you a fan of the singer Amanda Palmer?
I'm not a huge fan of her music, but I've read her book, The Art of Asking.
She recently, I'm always behind the times, so I'm not sure how recent it was, but she actually put out a song about Judy Blume.
Oh, did she?
You should give it a listen.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll give it a listen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's like a song about how like Judy, like how adolescence was so confusing, but how Judy Blume helped her.
Yeah, I think she... I think she helped everyone. Like, I don't know many people who haven't read a Judy Blume novel, and that is saying something, isn't it? Yeah, I think my current obsession with authors, I'm really getting into YA authors, and I think Becky Albertalli, have you heard of her? She did.
I haven't.
She did Simon versus the Homo Sapiens, which has recently been put into Love, Simon, the movie. And that is brilliant coming out tale.
I love YA. I mean, it's such a confusing time in your life, and I think it leaves us all slightly scarred. Yeah. But it's just fun to read. And some of the authors, you have to give it to them. They're so creative.
I was in Gaze the Word Bookshop in London town recently, and I was talking to the manager there, Jim, who's a really lovely guy. And I was asked, sort of, it was just at the end of 2018, and we were talking about our favourite books of the year. And he said to me that in his top five, I think three of them were YA books. And he's I don't know how old Jim is. He's probably in his 50s. And he was just saying to me, I never thought I'd get into YA. Yeah. In such a big way, but he said, I'm not the only one. I mean, I think YA is read across the board. You know, look at Twilight. Yeah. That's a huge YA franchise, isn't it? And I think
Twilight, Harry Potter. I remember I was way back in the day, a camp counselor this summer, and I remember seeing all these kids, like, at the end of the day, they would be like sitting under a shady tree or something with this huge book in their lap. And I was like, what are you reading? Like, I mean, these kids were like 8, 9, 10 years old, and this book was like bigger than War and Peace almost. I'm like, what are you guys reading? And they're like, oh, it's Harry Potter. And I was like, how impressive that this author has gotten so many kids hooked to reading.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that is something that I never thought I would be inspired by. But I am. So I'm hoping to read more YA this year. And poetry. That's the other thing. But I find I've got a natural barrier, a natural resistance to poetry. I think it's a bit like the classics. So I'm just like this. I really want to try it, but I don't want to.
I read poems and I'm always like, that sounds pretty. But if you ask me to really dissect it, I'd be like, that's pretty. That's my level.
Oh, I think dissecting takes the joy out of things. Just enjoy it for what it is. That's what I think. And talking of inspiration, how do you get inspired to write when you don't really feel like it?
Oh, this is one of those things that you have to deal with quite a bit. We're both full-time writers, so it's one of those things. And for people who have this romantic image of Ernest Hemingway writing, we're traveling the world and drinking all the time, and then maybe writing 100 words here and there, close your ears if you don't want to hear this, but it's a job. How I get inspired to actually do it is sometimes I just have to tell myself to sit down in the chair and start writing. I know one of the things that inspires me the most is a deadline. When I set out my writing schedule for the year, I craft really strict deadlines to make myself focus. What about you?
I think the same as you, really. It's you know, depressing to say, but it is a job. We do this full time. And yes. If we want to, you know, earn money to eat, we have to write words. That's the long and short of it. That's not to say there is something still magical about it, but discipline is the watchword to getting writing done. And even if you don't feel like it in the beginning, it's a bit like going to the gym, really, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to go, I don't want to do it. But once you're there and you start, then, you know, it's easier to just finish than get up, throw your rattle out of the pram and go home. So
yeah, it feels good. I mean, I had one job before I moved from the US to London. I had a job that I hated so much that on my computer I had a post-it note that had a countdown to every single day off I had, including President's Day or anything. Every morning I would get my tea, I would sit down at my job, and I had to tick off that day first thing because I just hated being there so much. And I never felt that way about writing.
No.
I mean, there are days where I get up in the morning and I'm like, oh, do I really want to write? And then I'm like, you know, remember that one job you really hated? You actually like this one. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think the other thing that inspires me is like the freedom that this job entails. So if I want to be my own boss, which I always did, and if I want to write, which I always did, well, I'm doing my dream job. And yes, there are going to be some days where it's not as brilliant as other days. And it's not just all about the writing, it's about the business. However, I'm still working for myself and I'm still doing my, you know, if you'd have told me 10 years ago, you're going to be a full-time writer, Claire, writing novels, I wouldn't have believed you. But here we are. Living the dream. Yes.
And it is nice where, like, I have a couple of trips coming up, but I know I can bring my laptop and still get work done and everything. And it's you do have the freedom of being your own boss and doing something you love, even on the days where it's, like, painful to sit at the laptop. But it's still something, and we're connecting with people. What better way to make a living than connecting with people?
I don't know one. I just don't know one. No. And one thing I inspires me as well, if I'm not feeling it, is to play the guitar and sing. I was talking to someone the other day and they were saying, if you need a change of energy or change of focus, LSD is your friend. And I was like, really? LSD? And apparently this is the new buzzword because it stands for laughter, singing and dancing. So apparently if you get up from your chair and just do a bit of dancing or a bit of singing.
I'm going to need some video on this one when you do it.
Again, well, you know, if Costa doesn't have any panna raison, there'll be no laughter, there'll be no singing and there'll be no dancing. And I feel
my heart is breaking for you.
And I feel like that's a beautiful way to end this episode. Do let us know what or who inspires you in your everyday life to write or to read or whatever. And if you can, send me positive vibes, positive thoughts that maybe Costa might have a change of heart and start stocking panna raison again. And if your local Costa does stock panna raison, let us know.
Absolutely. Otherwise, Claire's is going to struggle.
Life is a struggle, but you know, I'm still here and hopefully I'll still be here next week. Do join us next week for episode 4 of Lesbians Who Write, when we're going to be talking about being a healthy writer. So I can't wait for that one. We'll see you next week. Say goodbye, TB.
Thanks for listening today, everybody. Goodbye.
Okay, see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.